We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
Oh, hello. Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. What's up, everybody? It is the Monday episode. We are starting the week off right. And of course, that means that I am joined by the fire, Robbie, King of the Cox Bernstein. How are you, sir?
I'm ready to leave the caucus of Cox.
No. What, you're leaving?
No, leading.
Oh, leading.
I'm not going to leave.
Oh, it's
I'm
just
not...
like some people hear Cox or Cox instead of Cox. I heard leave.
No.
But you'd never
leave. I'm going to lead.
All right.
I'm not resigning.
No.
Not yet. I haven't completed my mission yet.
No, you're not like president of the Cox. You don't have to come up for a vote every few years.
That's
you don't
true.
Resign. You're king.
I'm king.
For life. And then your kids get it after you.
Lineage.
Yeah, that's right. There's no fucking votes. We're anti-democratic here on this show, as I think we've made clear. We've tried our best to make clear. Well, how are you? How was your weekend? How was your pace out?
That's too much, man. It's fine for one night. You know, because you show up first night, you're like, okay, I haven't been with my family for a while.
Man.
I haven't had to sit through for religion. I can handle for one night. You get hammered. It's okay. But then just in case you didn't hate it, you have to show up the second night and do the exact same thing again.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Ugh.
I did one night with my family and one night doing Lauren's Easter shit. And man, the
Easter's
Christian holidays
so
are just better. They're
Eggs,
just better.
Money in it.
Oh, yeah, it's like literally like, you know how you're used to like hiding an egg and kids getting candy and things like that? Well, how about if we were to hide a dry cracker? And then it's such a Jewy tradition, too. And you're like, and then you can extort people for money with this fucking dried up old cracker. It's brutal. The whole Passover thing, man, it's tough for me to swallow.
It's a long ceremony.
Yeah, well, we don't really do it like that. We're not good Jews like that. We do like this fucking, we have this concise family Seder thing that my mom reads like three pages from, and then we're like, let's fucking eat. This is ridiculous. I also, what was great is we have like a baby who's like fussing, and I was like, we gotta start eating and fucking get out of here. She's got a bedtime. So it was real easy to get through that. But the whole thing, there's one line in the Passover Seder that I still just, I never let be said without making fun of it.
All right.
Which is when they go, if Moses hadn't saved the Jews, if God hadn't, you know, led the Jews out of slavery, we would still be subjects to the Pharaoh today.
Oh, that
which
one.
Is my favorite just thing ever. Where he's like, really? Would we still be under the Pharaoh today?
Well,
I don't know how much geopolitics you pay attention to, but the Pharaoh fell quite a few years ago. I think we'd be fine.
I think what the commentators would tell you
is that the Pharaoh would still be there.
No, it's not the Pharaoh. It's that his impact on our identity would have been so profound, we never would have broken free from it. We would have been swallowed by the Egyptians, almost like the loving guy.
God is such a bad dude in the fucking Jewish stories. The Old Testament God is so evil.
Well, he's got a...
It's really unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know this, as I'm a believer. I've found God ever since having my daughter. I really do believe
in a God. And I moved on
to
becoming the King of the Cox.
That's right. We've all grown a lot over mm-hmm. this last year. But the idea that you're supposed to swallow these stories. So more or less the story, right? I'll give it to you like real quick, the
yeah.
Passover story, and I'll leave out a whole lot of details. But so Moses, he's fucking raised as like one of the Pharaoh's fucking kids, basically. And he's like got all the fucking advantages. He's got some real Egyptian white privilege. He's like raised with the Pharaoh. At a certain point in his teenage years, he finds out that he was actually a Jew who was like fucking, whose mom put him, you know, on a river and fucking he was found. And I think the name Moses actually means like I drew him forth from the water or something like that. Anyway, so he finds out he's a Jew. He's like, what? These are my people. This is terrible. He has a religious experience. He sees a burning bush. He's like, okay, that's God. And then after seeing this burning bush, he's like, I just saw God in this burning bush. He goes back to the Pharaoh. He's like, hey, Pharaoh, what you're doing to the Jews isn't cool. You got to let my people go. The Pharaoh's like, bro, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I don't know that you're God. I don't know these people. I'm not letting anyone go. You're kind of an ingrate. I gave you a pretty nice life. and now you want to be a Jew? Who the fuck chooses to be a Jew? By the way, fair point on the Pharaoh's part, okay? So then Moses talks to God, and God's like, don't worry, I'm going to fuck up these fucking Egyptians if they don't let you go. So he has them to let him go, and he's like, if you don't, there's going to be fucking all these plagues. And then he doesn't let him go, so God starts murdering children. I'm skipping a few details here, well, but God just starts murdering innocent children.
Warnings before that.
But
the kid murder.
Yeah, but he starts in his
Who gave these Egyptians their fine children, Dave?
Yeah, I guess. But in his final
act,
I am killing your fucking kids. Yeah. How about that? How about I just start murdering children who fucking, like...
the firstborns.
Yeah, the firstborns.
Pompous douches anyways.
Yeah, well, it is, I guess. There's a point there. But he just starts killing these kids. And then finally the Pharaoh's like, Jesus Christ, fine. Just go. Just go. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. I didn't realize your God was a child murderer. Go. We don't need you anymore. And then he lets the Jews go, and they start going. And then Moses is like, wait a minute. These motherfuckers just murdered all our kids. Or the Pharaoh, rather. He's like, they just murdered all our kids. So he comes back to him. Then Moses uses some of his voodoo magic to make fucking the river part. And then he drowns a bunch more Egyptians. And then they go wander around in the desert for 40 years eating crackers.
And then they show up in Israel and kill all the inhabitants.
Yeah, that's true too. Oh, and by the way, one little quick aside. While they're in the desert and they're just hanging out, at one point, Moses is going up the mountain. He's like, chill out here. I got to go get these fucking stone tablets. And, people are getting pretty grumbly. They're like, dude, I am fucking, we've been walking around the desert for like decades at the point eating crackers. This is fucking bullshit. Like, which, by the way, can you think of a worse food to have in the desert than matzah?
They graduated from the crackers to the manna.
Well, that's right. Okay, so they had a little bit of manna.
And then they had the quail.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, good point. But anyway, they're still getting fucking
grumbly.
Quail
and crackers, now we're
talking.
And
so Jesus' yeah. brother-in-law, Moses' brother-in-law and a few of the other grumbling Jews, they build a golden calf, and they start worshiping this golden calf, which is a no-no. So Moses comes down, and with the help of God, just slaughters them all. Just fucking slaughters them all. As Moses is coming down with these ten commandments on the tablets, number one is, thou shalt not murder. He just fucking murders all these people for the crime of building a little calf to worship. So anyway... Guys, doesn't seem like the best dude ever in this story. Like, he doesn't, in a modern reading of it, he doesn't come off like the greatest dude ever. But he's still not as bad as the mainstream media. How do you like that? Okay, so there, transitioning out of my pace out talk.
The Passover story in a nutshell.
I mean,
but you, as the bigger picture Smith, should see that God had some larger agenda to bring us to this day and age, and we're all like, I don't even know if that happened. It's all part of the bigger
yeah.
agenda.
To finally get us to the point where you go, this whole thing smells like bullshit, if you ask me. So, okay, let's talk about this because I didn't talk about it on Friday, and I'm actually glad that I didn't and I waited a little bit. But the full Mueller report, which was lightly redacted, as everybody in the mainstream media is saying, although I will say, with redactions, you really never know how light they actually are or are not, because it's redacted, and who knows what the fuck is in that shit that could be incredibly relevant. We've seen time and time again when it comes to the FBI and the CIA as well. Quite often you find out stuff that's redacted was not redacted for legitimate purposes at all. It's just redacted because it's got some really embarrassing information in there. Stuff is classified because it's embarrassing or would change your perception. But anyway, the Mueller report came out, and it's like 400 something pages long. It to me it just kind of reads as a let's say a very political document, and it's a basically a report to put out as many politically damaging pieces of information to the president as can possibly be out there. And it really, in a lot of ways, has saved the mainstream media from having to deal with their obvious bullshit for so long. I got to say this. I've been watching a bit of CNN and MSNBC over the last 48 hours or so. And I actually have to tip my hat to them. I cannot believe how shameless and just their ability to just put the blinders on and move forward. If goalpost shifting was an Olympic sport, these guys should get the gold and we should never compete again. I actually heard a woman, one of the panelists on MSNBC today say, I almost literally spit my coffee out. But she said, she was just talking, just casually said this and no one disagreed with her. And she said, look, this thing was never about collusion. Just like, yeah, never. No one was ever talking about that. I don't remember. Like, they will literally just tell you to not believe your lying eyes or your shaky memory. I know you might remember a lot of people talking about collusion over the last years. That's you're remembering that wrong. Nobody, this was never about collusion. This was always about obstruction of justice. That's what this was about. Or the Russian interference and Trump's obstructing justice. That's what this was about. Nobody was telling you that this was about collusion. But it really reminds me, you know, I've said many times on the show, in fact, it might be one of the central themes that is a through line throughout every episode of the show, is that statism is in effect or in essence a religion. That it's a religion. I mean, down to every aspect of it, from the fact that you're take things with a leap of faith. We've seen that a lot, whether it's even in my debate that I had with that Ben Burgess fellow, you know, where he's like, well, if the roads were privately owned, a lot more people would be dead. There's no real argument attached to it. Just like, well, things are better. If it wasn't for the state, there'd be chaos. If it wasn't for this, people would be starving. People would be dying. And it's just terrible. You know, without God, there's nothing. That's just a religious kind of impulse. And the state in itself is something that doesn't actually exist. It's just kind of an idea. It's something that we made up. There's no, like, you can't really show someone what the state is. I mean, there's buildings and there's people, but we just decided that these are government and these are not government. And it's got its, like, holy texts. You know, like, people will quote, you know, whether it's, like, there's, like, the Constitution and then there's, like, laws. Like, look at this. This document was produced and therefore it has some type of meaning. Anyway, the whole thing, it's kind of like a religion, maybe more so like a cult. I mean, if you don't believe that statism is a cult, look at the reaction when John McCain died. It's like, if that's not a cult, I don't know what is. And then in some ways, it's almost like, I don't know. All right, well, Michael Malice says in his forthcoming book that progressivism is a religion. And I certainly think that that's true as well. I think there's lots of these things that are just almost religious beliefs. And if you look at the media's reaction to the Mueller report, it's hard for me to not see it in that context. It's as if you're talking to a fundamentalist religious person who's like, look, the Earth is 6,000 years old. And you're like, well, we just got this carbon dating report that says it's more like 4.5 billion years. How much of an effect does that have on that religious fundamentalist? It's like, yeah, whatever. We're sticking with our story. Because this, if anything, this just proves us right. It just proves that God made the world look like it's 4.5 billion years old 6,000 years ago. You know, it's like it's not going to have any effect on it. So, if you've been listening to this show or any of the shows that have been covering this from an honest perspective, it's not as if I'm just telling you what the mainstream media has been saying. We play the clips all the time. We read the stories. We go through each one of them. There's no way you could possibly imagine, right? Like, this is why I almost have to tip my hat to them. Could you imagine that this could come out, that there's no further indictments, no one in the Trump family, not Trump himself. We found no evidence of collusion, conspiracy with the Russians. And not at least, at a minimum, have some folks on CNN and MSNBC be like, we may have overplayed that a little bit. It's possible we were a little bit too gung-ho on the whole Trump-Russia collusion thing. Well, let's check in. Here's a little montage clip that Tucker played on his show the other night, which I thought was really great. Here is, in a nutshell, the mainstream media's reaction to the Mueller report.
It really corroborated a lot of the good journalism that was done. And when you go back and you look at this report and you look, you're like, all these stories that were fake news. Well, Mueller shows that this was actually going on.
This report already is the connective tissue that explains everything we've been reporting over the past 2 years. Time and again in this Mueller report, reporting from major news outlets is confirmed in this Mueller report as being accurate. Time and again.
What world are they living in? What, I mean, it's I'm actually blown away. And I got to hand it to the corporate press. They never cease to amaze me. They never stop impressing me with their bullshit. It's like, yeah, we were completely proven right by a finding of no collusion. We were completely proven right. I mean, all the stories, all this talk about fake news. I mean, Mueller just demonstrated that we were completely right. Do you remember, like, okay, first of all, if anyone's even like just casually been paying attention to CNN for the last 2 years, the idea that they would say they weren't reporting on Trump-Russia collusion. It was the number one story by far. It was the number one, the number two, the number three, and the number four story. There's actually been a few of these like independent groups who have tracked the amount of time that was spent on Russian collusion. It got like 10 times what everything else got. It was just talked every single day, the entire day. They talked about Trump-Russia collusion. And then, I mean, if you want to get into like specific stories, well, there's the BuzzFeed story that was touted around all of these cable news shows. Remember, he had seen evidence. He was shown evidence by some of the investigators on Mueller's team that Trump had directed Michael Cohen to lie. That was flat out smacked down in the Mueller report. There was straight up like, no, Cohen was not told to lie. It in fact says that Cohen testified to the investigation that Trump told him to tell the truth. That not only did he not imply to lie, he told him don't lie. He told him to tell the truth. Where's that guy? Does that guy get fired? Does he get suspended? Does he at least get reprimanded? Is there anything? There was a story, and there's dozens of examples of this, but there was a story in the New York Magazine that said this one guy, oh, God damn it, I'm blanking on his fucking name. But he said that not only was Trump colluding during the 2016 election with the Russians, but that the collusion went back to 1987, and that basically Donald Trump, since we've known him as a public figure, has been a Russian puppet. Do you think it's possible the Mueller report would have missed that? Do you think it's possible that that's the reality, and they still came out and go, we couldn't find any evidence of any conspiracy?
They didn't have enough time or money. That was the issue.
Yeah, right. $30 million in 2 years wasn't quite enough.
It was a lack of resources.
I mean,
if they had really committed to it, I bet they would have found what they needed.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I mean, now it seems like we're left here with questions on the table.
Yeah,
at least
that's
it could have been conclusive.
But the idea that you could even attempt that these news organizations, and I put air quotes around news organizations, could pretend that they did not wrap themselves up in the Trump-Russia collusion hysteria, which we were all, everybody, it was so easy to see through, man. It's like, this is why I've been saying it for years now. It was so easy to see through. It was obvious. This is why an idiot comedian like me could fucking see through it the whole time. Oh, Donald Trump's involved in a conspiracy with the Russians. I mean, we saw him on television say, hey, Russia, if you have the other 20,000 emails, we'd love to see them. And you'd be like, yeah, but if he's involved in a conspiracy with the Russians, why would he need to say that on television? Wouldn't he just tell the Russians? If he's involved in a conspiracy with them, wouldn't he not say that on television? Because, you know, want to keep this conspiracy under wraps? Like, why? This, it never made any sense at all. But this is what they'll pretend that was never about. It was never about collusion. It was never about Trump being a Russian puppet. What it was really about was that Donald Trump said, I'm fucked, when the news broke that there was a special investigation. That's the big story. That's the really big story. They actually went from, without batting an eye, they went from the president, the sitting president of the United States of America is a traitor to our country, guilty of treason, to the next day, he dropped an F-bomb. So, doesn't that kind of tell you all you need to know? I mean, I'm actually blown away. as somebody who obsesses over how fucking terrible the mainstream media is, I'm still like, you know what? Fuck it. You guys did it to me again. You impressed me one more time. I actually can't believe it. I can't believe that they don't have to grapple with the fact that they put all of their chips in on Trump-Russia collusion and came up with zero. Zero. Sorry, that's the story here. That's the story. That's what's going on. Have you been watching any of the coverage?
I've been reading more than watching.
Yeah. What have you been paying attention to?
I mean, everything. Just
isn't it yeah. Wonderful?
I like Google News. It makes it easy. You just put in the topic, and then I'll just open every article on the topic. Basically, that's my system.
It really is like just unbelievable that there's not more people. And then, of course, if you look at the what's known as the alternative media, if you look at the internet news, there were people who were all over this right away. It's really crazy too that they don't even have one dissident voice. Like they don't have. People, for all the shit that Fox News gets, and there's plenty wrong with Fox News, and I'll still always be suspicious of them because Fox News really was probably the worst of the worst when it came to the buildup to the war in Iraq. I mean, they were just all in cheerleaders and really jumping in on this, like, you know, you're basically quasi terrorist sympathizer if you don't want to go, you know, fucking start this bullshit war off complete propaganda. But Fox News will just about always have an opposing view on almost every show. You'll almost never see a Fox News show where there's not someone who's making the Democratic argument or the left-wing argument or in some way challenging. Maybe not on Hannity, but just about on every other show that you'll hear from other voices. There's always, now usually they set it up so it's like one Democrat against two Republicans or something like that. Like it's definitely a network that leans Republican. But CNN will have a panel of 12 people who all see it exactly the same way. And they just go through this panel. Everyone gets 20 seconds to agree with the last person. Like, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. I was watching a CNN panel the other day, you know, one of these things where there's fucking, you know, three desks on each side of them. And there's all these people. And I think almost every single person started off their 20 seconds with, yeah, I agree with you. And blah, 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 blah. Like just agreeing with the last person and then saying the same thing. There's nobody in this entire CNN panel who's even, they're not even going to have one person there to be outnumbered by everybody else and have one person go like, I think we spent way too much time on something that turned out to be complete bullshit. Not even one. MSNBC, nothing.
Well, the reliable sources guy must correct for this.
Oh, no. I'm sure Brian Stelter's position on this is media did a great job. We did. You know, I've been looking it over for this last week, and one more time, I'm going to tell you, we knocked it out of the park. The media did a great job. That now, since if he's been doing that show for 300 weeks, he'd go, yep, 300-0. Perfect. Perfect record. Except Fox News, they're terrible. That's basically his takeaway every single week. But look, I just think it's unavoidable, no matter how you look at it. It really is, actually. I am, if you remove all of the media noise for a second, I'm actually blown away by how good this whole thing came out for Donald Trump. If you remember in the beginning, my prediction was that they are going to get him for something. It will be completely unrelated to Russia because I knew this Russia shit was bullshit to begin with. And I also just saw what was going on here. It's just, it's easy.
He survived a special investigator. It's crazy.
It's insane. It's insane.
Kudos.
Yeah. So anyway, there was a lot of stuff too in the report that was left out. That was like really shady, that was left out. Like they basically included everything that would make Trump look bad. Like just the things like he reportedly said, I'm fucked. And, you know, he reportedly asked to fire someone or asked to do this. By the way, here's one more thing that I should just put out there. Just keep in mind in anything you read in the Mueller report, where so much of the information that you're getting is coming from people who were interviewed by Mueller, right? Or interviewed by people on Mueller's staff. So they interview KT McFarlane, or they interviewed Flynn, or they interviewed Manafort, or any of these people that they talked to. Well, they told us this, they told us this. Now, here's like and this is right at the center thing, right, with like dealing with statism in general. You have to take everything in there with a grain of salt, because they're giving information at the threat of violence. Like, they've already started bringing charges against people who say anything wrong, misremember a fact, and you're going to fucking go to jail. It's like if someone put a gun to your head and they were like, well, he told me this. How much weight do we treat that with? It's like, yeah, well, you were under duress. I mean, who knows what you said? You might say anything at that point. You gave him something that made Trump look bad. Okay, who knows if that's true or not? Who the fuck knows? It's not as if you were being, you know what I mean? Like, in any other situation in life, we would recognize that that's not a reliable way to get information out of someone is at the threat of violence. But of course, that's implicitly what this whole special investigation is getting. So anything that makes Trump look bad, but it is pretty funny that they have this thing that the media really loves to use as a smoking gun that Trump said, I'm fucked, when he first found out they had a special investigator on him. And you look back at it and you're like, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it didn't ruin his presidency, I guess, from the standpoint of, like, it did, you know, he's not been charged. None of his family's got, they didn't find anything like that on him. But how could you almost, seeing everything that happened and looking back at it, wouldn't you have to say, yeah, his reaction was correct? Like, he was right. He was absolutely right. He was like, holy shit, I'm fucked. And if you look at it from the perspective, which, by the way, every single inch of this, anyone who's talking about the Mueller report, to not look at it this way is so inherently dishonest. I mean, either dishonest or just incredibly stupid. Like you have a 50 IQ level stupid. Not even like you can pass third grade stupid. But if you look at this and you talk about the Mueller investigation, the only way to see this thing in reality, if you're not being really dumb or disingenuous, is to say Trump was being accused of something he didn't do, right? He was being accused of being a traitor, and he wasn't. So anything that you're going to judge his reaction, you have to judge it through that lens, through what actually happened here, which is that he was being accused of something horrible he didn't do. So how would you feel if you were being accused of being a traitor to your country by some of the most powerful people in the world, and you didn't do it? And then you say, oh, I'm fucked here. Like, I'm fucked. They're all coming down on me. I mean, it's completely reasonable. It's actually insane that they didn't find any dirt on Donald Trump. But more than that, if you're looking at this thing closely, and I do think that, you know, it's like after the war in Iraq, and there would be, you know, like around 2005, around that time, when it became clear that it, not only was it clear that there were no weapons of mass destruction, but it was clear that we weren't going to be greeted as liberators. It was clear this war wasn't going to be paid for in oil. All of the lies became very apparent. And also, it was a fucking bloodbath. Like the fucking, you know, Fallujah and all these other, but it was just a fucking nightmare. Like everything was going really bad. And then the media would have, you know, Max Boot on, or Karl Rove, or Paul Wolfowitz, or something like this, to be like, well, what do you think we should do now? And to be like, how about we listen to some of the people who got it right? How about we listen to some of the people who were like, we shouldn't fight this war, or who voted against it, or who said they don't have weapons of mass destruction? There were a lot of them at the time. I mean, you know, not enough, but like there were a lot of people outside of government and even a few good ones inside government. I obviously Ron Paul, but look, Bernie Sanders, he got the Iraq war right. I mean, there was like a lot there was enough people there who were around. Why don't we listen to them? Why don't we take their advice? Well, right now, I would say this. If you want to talk about the Russia investigation, or you want to look at how we should think about this Mueller investigation, maybe listen to some of the people who were right the whole time about it. Maybe not. Maybe you don't want to go to all of the people who got it wrong the entire time. And there's a lot of people smarter than myself, who got it right, you know, the Glenn Greenwalds of the world and you know, a lot of people like that. But, you know, I am in that group. You are in that group. We are people who were getting it right the whole time, while the vast majority of the mainstream media, of the corporate press, got it completely wrong. Okay? So here's what I'd say is the amazing thing for Trump, of how good he actually comes out of all this. Just ignore for a second. I mean, we're going to go through and take this all on, all the fucking bullshit they're talking about in the mainstream media now, but ignore that for 1 second. Here's how crazy it is. They actually may have done themselves more damage than they did to Donald Trump through this special investigation, which is bananas. I could never have predicted that in a million years at the beginning. I was sure once you sic a special prosecutor on a guy who's as corrupt as Donald Trump, they're gonna find something. I mean, I don't even know what it's going to be, but they will get something. There'll be some dirt on this guy. He'll be so exposed at the end of this. But who's really exposed? I mean, first off, so many of these deep state shadowy figures have come out into the light, a place that they don't like to be. You know, this is not the way it used to work, where you have like Brennan and Clapper and Comey going all around in these public places talking and getting things wrong, like blatantly coming out and just telling you. You got Clapper right there on your TV going, there will be indictments. Like 2 weeks before the Mueller report comes out, there will be indictments. It'll be against Trump and his family. Get ready. Nothing. Nothing. You know, like all. So these guys are completely exposed. Now, what one of the things that a precedent that Mueller set, which not a legal precedent, but just like a precedent in terms of how we deal with this, that really could come back to get these guys. And I'll hold my breath before I think the deep state's going to be held accountable for anything. But he basically established that if you lied regarding this investigation, we're going to throw the book at you. That would worry me if I was any of these other actors who lied to get this investigation started, who lied all the way throughout this. I mean, when you look around and you say, we're ruining these people's lives because they either got things wrong or lied to the investigation, and you look at the entire corporate press, you look at these deep state actors who all lied, and then, by the way, you know, the question that is being begged here, to use that informally, is, well, how exactly did we get this investigation started? Nobody's really still got it. The Papadopoulos thing, the fucking Carter Page warrant, what was the Christopher Steele dossier? I mean, none of that rose to the level of, you're saying that's all you need to start spying on a presidential candidate and then wrap up the first 2 years of a president's administration in this scandal? That's all it takes? That nothing? So there's so many questions like that. It just comes out looking really bad for them. And the other person it comes out looking really bad for. And I don't see how you can avoid this, even if you go by the mainstream media's narrative, is Barack Obama. That's who it comes out looking really fucking bad for. Because you know what the Mueller report says? It says that the Russian interference campaign started in 2014. In 2014. This is on Obama's watch. And they say Obama basically did nothing about it. So if this is some huge threat to our fucking country, if democracy has been undermined, well, guess what? It didn't happen on Trump's watch. By the way, even if they're interfering in the 2016 election, I don't know if you realize Donald Trump is not president in the 2016 election. He's running for president. Barack Obama is the president. So Barack Obama, on his watch, not saying how much of this was directly done by him or not, but on Barack Obama's watch, according to the mainstream narrative, the Russians interfered in our election and continued plotting to and ultimately interfered in the 2016 election. Obama does basically nothing, doesn't protect the country from this attack, this Pearl Harbor, as all those fucking neocons were calling it. Obama doesn't protect us from that. And instead, Obama launches these investigations that are wild goose chases, investigating Trump, who didn't do anything. So that's where he spent all these government resources. Nothing to actually stop the Russians, just to go after a political enemy. Now it seems to me, by their own narrative, that's an inescapable reality to arrive at, that a lot of this has to fall at the feet of Barack Obama. And so much of this is also, you know, is a story about government spying. Which I remember, you know, back when the Snowden stuff first came out, I mean, there were a lot of principled people. It was the same type of people who got the Russia collusion story right. It was the Glenn Greenwalds of the world and the Ron Pauls of the world. It's not just a left or right thing. It's really like an honest versus corrupt or stupid break. And like a lot of these guys who are somewhat aware of government abuses of power, we're saying, like, this is a game changer. Like, to build up this level of a spying apparatus, this is not, and there were some fucking, like, even libertarians on it who were bad. Like, John Stossel was really bad on this issue when it first came up. And a lot of people, I remember arguing one time with Mike Baker from the CIA on Kennedy's show years ago. And we were talking about this government spying issue. And he goes to me at one point, and this was kind of the standard line, where he was like, Dave, what do you care? First off, he gave me the standard line, which was like, if you don't have anything to hide, what do you care? What do you care if they're spying on you? And then he goes, he said, do you really think that the CIA and the FBI care about what you have in your email? Do you really care? Do you really think they care about what Dave Smith has on his fucking computer? What do you care if they have your metadata? And I remember like always thinking that was an amazing point where it was like, okay, yeah, no, they probably don't care about what I have. They're probably not that interested in spying on me. However, if there ever was somebody who shared my views, who rose up and looked like they could actually take power, I think they would care what that guy had on them. Like, we used to always say this back when that Snowden stuff first came out. If there was ever a good president, someone who really challenged the status quo and rose up, they now have all of that guy's metadata for years and years and years. I mean, imagine in 20 years, if a good leader ever rises up, they have his whole life. They have his whole fucking life. They have the last 30 years of this guy, every move that he's ever made. That's enough to ruin anybody in the public eye, or at least poison the well against this guy. Now, we were always using a hypothetical that it would be like some great leader who rose up. We didn't get that. We got Donald Trump instead. But he still was a guy who was challenging the fucking status quo. And then you have the power of the state completely turn on that guy. That's the story here over bullshit. The story is that the media, the political class, they all ran, or the deep state actors, they all ran with a complete bullshit story. And they can't admit that. So they have to just pretend. This was never about collusion. What are you talking about? Collusion. That's nonsense. Let's focus on obstruction of justice, right? Because that's what Mueller handed them. Mueller had to deliver at least something that wouldn't look like the obvious defeat that it is. Which, it, to anybody paying attention. I mean, if you're not just, you know, like I was saying before that it's like a religion. And this is their worldview. It's a religious worldview. And Donald Trump is the devil. In this worldview, he's the evil one. So you're never like looking for evidence. You know, I mean, try going and talking to a Christian about how you think the devil actually had a pretty good point in the Bible, right? You'd be like, well, I think, well, let's look at this from his perspective. That's probably not going to get you very far, right? Like that's the devil, man. He's the bad guy. This is the good guy. That's it. There's no other argument to be had here. Of course, our worldview, which I think is much more rooted in reality, is more like, you know, that the government is kind of just a mafia who kind of rules with, you know, the threat of looting or killing or, you know, imprisoning people. So from my worldview, it's kind of like Obama was like a crime boss. He's a bad guy. He's not the devil. He just happened to be the crime boss at the time. Trump's the new crime boss, you know, like, or I don't know how much Trump actually runs the organization. He's supposed to be the boss, but a lot of people are working against him within the you know, the mafia. But that's it. They're just, you know, they're bad guys who are the head of a criminal organization. But to them, it's different. It's religious. And Trump is the devil. So we got to get him one way or the other. And now they've got this, you know, fucking obstruction of justice. So they gave them enough. Mueller gave them enough that they can now pivot. And basically what he said was, we found no evidence of collusion, conspiracy, or cooperation with the Russians. The Russians did interfere in our election campaigns, which, you know, it's like, yeah, they interfere in ours. We interfere with theirs. That's been true since about the Bolshevik Revolution. It's really not a big deal. But nobody will put that into context in this way. Like, nobody will just go like, yeah, you know, they did interfere, but, like, we interfere constantly with them too. Or that actually this interference doesn't constitute anything that's really that different from the usual run-of-the-mill stuff. But anyway, so they interfered in the election, and Donald Trump, you know, whatever, he's the devil, and he obstructed in this investigation. That's the new angle that you're hearing with. So Robert Mueller said there was no collusion or conspiracy, but we can't really determine whether or not there was obstruction of justice. No, you know, it's like, I don't know. We couldn't really make a call on that. That's more or less what it says. And now, even though we can't make a call on that, let me lay out 10 episodes that could be obstruction. He doesn't say there are 10 episodes of obstruction of justice. It's just like 10 things that, I don't know, you call it. What is it, my job to call it? No, you guys decide whether or not you think this is obstruction. So it's enough for the Democrats to run around this. But I'll tell you, I'm curious to get your take on this, Rob, but I'll tell you, this is the amazing thing about it. They actually, and this is the moment that we're living through in history, they actually think that they're like, they don't realize that they're hanging themselves. They're giving themselves the rope to hang themselves. It's like, oh, okay, so now you gave just enough for the media to continue running with this and for Democrats to keep running with this, and it's just going to make you guys look bad.
Well, here, if you look at the timetable for impeachment, mm-hmm. it's got to be coming up right about when the next election would be taking place. So if you're still running with the impeachment narrative and then the voting public votes once again for the guy, it's a real slap in the face. Because it just shows the extent by which you're not really representing the voting public that the because what are you colluding him for? You're not actually really colluding him for a crime. You're colluding. I mean, what are you possibly impeaching him for? It's not for a crime. It's for obstructing a fake investigation. And so if the voting public goes, well, that doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like that's kind of embarrassing to government.
Well, it's not even they're talking about impeachment all day long on CNN and MSNBC right now. That's all they're talking about. And in fact, we've got one presidential candidate who has already brought up the idea of impeachment, which brings us to this week's Crazy Bitch Watch.
Hey, y'all crazy bitch.
Crazy Bitch Watch.
I think we might need to make that a little bit longer. All right, let's pull that up. Make it a little bit bigger so I can read it because it's hard for me to see it over here. Elizabeth Warren tweets, to ignore a president's repeated efforts to obstruct an investigation into his own disloyal behavior would inflict great and lasting damage on this country, and it would suggest that both the current and future presidents would be free to abuse power in similar ways. So that's why she is calling on the House to begin impeachment proceedings. So here's the fucking goddamn Pocahontas. What an idiot she turned out to be. All right, so move it up. Move it up to where we were before the tweet. Okay. So to ignore the president's repeated efforts to obstruct. Isn't that a clever turn of phrase? Not his obstruction, but you know, he wanted to obstruct justice. He didn't quite obstruct justice, but he wanted to obstruct justice in obstruct an investigation into his own disloyal behavior. Hey, how did that investigation go, Pocahontas? What was his own disloyal behavior? Oh, yeah, there wasn't any. You fucking psychopath. There was. Please, please, be stupid enough to give this chick the nomination. Give this crazy bitch the nomination so she can debate Donald Trump up on a stage one-on-one. Now, she won't. She's polling in single digits. She's going nowhere quick. Her campaign has completely imploded, which is why she's taking these crazy shots. She's all of a sudden, she's for, like, reparations for slavery and impeachment and all this crazy stuff. But there's officially a presidential candidate who's a media darling to some degree, who's out there calling for impeachment. And I've heard it talked about all day long. Now, here's where I think it doesn't work out very well for them. Number one, MSNBC and CNN's ratings have been taking a huge hit since this Mueller report came out. Actually, since the Mueller report was released to the Attorney General, to Bob Barr, or Bill Barr. Since then, basically, they've taken a pretty big hit on their ratings, and Fox News has been through the roof. Their ratings have been crushing it. And I gotta think, I actually think that this one, even for the American public, which is not always the quickest on the uptake, it's just a bridge too far to pretend that you weren't talking about Russia collusion this whole time. I mean, for any like anyone who's not invested in the religion, in Trump is the devil, those people you got already. You could say whatever you want to. You got those people already. But for anybody who's not, how can you pretend you weren't talking about Trump-Russia collusion? That's what this story was. And then for it to come out that there was no collusion. And then to say, we should impeach him. I think we should talk about impeachment now. Even though it was obviously a victory for the president. It was obviously an exoneration for him. I mean, even the obstruction of justice stuff, which we're going to get into in a second, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's no, none of this is obstruction. This is such a fucking bullshit. This is like grasping at straws. And I think it just makes them look bad. And I do think, to your point, most Look, most Americans don't really care that much about this whole thing to begin with. But if you could demonstrate that the president was in bed with a foreign power, I think that would be something they'd care about. But once you throw that out and you're like, basically, we think there's 10 episodes that could be determined, that could be called attempts to obstruct the investigation. I mean, dude, I don't even know where to start with this. I want to go through each of the 10 episodes, as Mueller put it, of what they claim could be a deemed obstruction of justice.
The other thing that is somewhat humorous about it is you've kind of given Donald Trump his excuse for why he got nothing done in his first 4 years, which is you tied down my presidency with this bullshit thing and I couldn't get to work.
Yeah.
And then the argument against that is, well, you weren't a strong enough leader to overcome it. But what overcoming it would have just been obstruction of justice. He didn't allow me to kind of throw down my torch and say, hey, I'm in charge here and everyone's going to follow my lead.
Well, that's right. That's the catch 22 that they got him in. And of course, what happens with all of these things is that time goes by and you kind of lose the moment and you lose the momentum and people just don't, you know. Look, what Donald Trump, one way or the other, feel however you feel about Donald Trump, even for the people who hate Donald Trump intensely with a passion, for you guys, like, we're not really big believers in democracy. People end up voting for things that we don't agree with all the time. And, you know, we were just talking about this on the last episode with Gene, but no, there's a couple major flaws with democracy. I mean, the most basic one is that you have no right to vote on someone else's freedom anyway. It doesn't matter if person A and person B both vote to rob person C. It's still wrong to do that. So you have no right to vote on other people's rights. The other problem that Gene so artfully laid out in our last episode is that there's no way that, like, it's impossible, if you understand specialization and the division of labor, it's impossible for the voting public really to know how to run the VA and Medicare and the military industrial complex and all these other things. Like, they don't have the knowledge to even pick the right people. I think, you know, the point that I was making on the show is just that people are very susceptible to propaganda. And that's a big problem with democracy, too, is that then you just open up all this area to propagandize people, and it works. That's why it still goes on, and it's been going on for a long time. So we really believe, you know, that not from a Democrat point of view, I mean, in the pure sense, believing in democracy, but just from a point of view of saying this whole state system is so corrupt that we would support that it should have a reset. But if you do believe in democracy at all, even if you're like, you hate Donald Trump, you should acknowledge that in 2016, there should have been some type of recalibration of the American system. That the fact that Donald Trump, even if you feel like, well, Hillary won the popular vote and he just squeaked by on the Electoral College, the fact that tens of millions of people were ready to vote for Donald Trump did vote for Donald Trump really shows you that people, like, there needed to be a moment where the political class adjusted to the fact that people are very upset with them and they don't like the status quo. None of that happened. That never happened. Basically, things are going on the same as they were in the Obama administration with a couple small differences. Donald Trump can bullshit you all that he wants about how much they're getting done. What's different on immigration than under Obama? Just about nothing. Just about nothing. Well, was there a week there where Jeff Sessions', you know, zero tolerance policy was in effect? Okay, that got reversed right away. What's different in the war situation? Nothing. They're continuing right on. Okay, the corporate tax has been lowered a little bit. There's been some deregulation in the energy sector. How about the spending levels? They're higher than they were under Obama. All the train is still on the track going right along. And that moment is now over. That's over. The Donald Trump just got elected. It's time to reshuffle things a bit. That's over. It's not happening again. And in part, it is because his first year in office was completely bogged down by this Trump-Russia hysteria. And if you remember, at the beginning, it was just hysteria. Because what happened was, even though people like me and you were able to see right at the beginning that this was all bullshit, what happened was more and more information started coming out And you started realizing, oh, there's no there. There's nothing to this whole thing. They actually have nothing. At the beginning, what you really have is a whole bunch of people who are in these secret organizations and these high profile, you know, positions telling you, we know there's something there. I mean, that's kind of all you have at the beginning. At the beginning, you have, you know, like the Speaker of the House, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, the former head of the CIA, the former National Security Director, all coming out and going, trust me, there's damning information there. You haven't seen it yet, but trust me. And enough to the point that it makes everyone go like, whoa, maybe there's something there. This is all forgotten about now. Now, and they're already trying to move on to obstruction. Don't even worry about this. But this is what happened. They did, in a sense, steal the Trump presidency away from him. I mean, sure, he is technically still the president. I know some idiots like fucking Pocahontas are talking about impeachment. That's not going to happen. But they did steal that moment away from him. And that's an important moment. When you come in on that victory, when you come in on, hey, I'm this outsider. I just beat the Bush family and the Clinton families. I drew all this money. I reinvented how you campaign in America. I'm here. That's when you have some momentum to be like, we're going to start changing things. You know, elections have consequences and I won and we're going to do something. And that was taken away. And by the way, I'm not at all, you know, like I don't think Trump necessarily would have done anything that great. But I do think that this system is so broken and corrupt that it would be nice to have someone throw a monkey wrench into the wheel. And by the way, a lot of people voted for Donald Trump just for that reason. And they didn't get that. None of them got that. All of the things that they voted for, none of them have happened. And by the way, that's partly on Trump. And if the Democrats weren't fucking idiots, they would run against that, by the way. If the Democrats weren't idiots, they would run like, hey, we're serious about securing the border. Look at Donald Trump. He hasn't done anything. Instead, they're running against him going, oh, my God, he's fucking, you know, he's separating families. If they were smart, they would run against him for fucking expanding wars. They'd be like, oh, he said he was going to end these wars. He hasn't ended any of them. Instead, they're running against him. He's a Russian puppet. You know, it's insane. The only one who's doing it the right way is Tulsi Gabbard. It's the only one who's doing it the right way. She's the only one pointing out that Donald Trump is actually bringing us closer to war with Russia. That's the fear here. That's actually the danger. Okay, so Mueller left the door open for the obstruction of justice idea, and he outlined 10 episodes where Trump might have obstructed justice. All right, I'm pulling up this Politico article that was by the Politico staff. So it's like they all put it out together. That basically was summing up what the 10 instances are. Just before we get into this, I just want to repeat again, like I said, you have to look at this and just understand what we're talking about here. You're talking about a president of the United States who's being investigated for something he didn't do, being labeled a traitor to his country and guilty of treason every single day in the mainstream media, no matter how much they try to pretend they weren't saying that now. They were. We all remember. You just go back through the back catalog of this show if you want to see what they were saying. And another thing to keep in mind is that Donald Trump is not a real estate developer being accused of obstruction of justice. He's the fucking president of the United States. If Donald Trump wanted to obstruct this investigation, he could have fired Mueller at any time during this thing. He's the fucking president. Like, it's what you were kind of getting at before, which is that he either sits there and deals with what he's dealt with for the last couple years, in which case they're still saying he obstructed justice. But you could sit there and be like, yeah, you weren't a strong enough leader. But if he actually put an end to the investigation, he was like, look, I know I didn't do any of this. This is bullshit. They would absolutely accuse him of obstruction of justice. So he didn't do any of that. He didn't. And in fact, some of these things are just like he thought about doing a thing. He thought about doing a thing and didn't. That straight up comes up. Okay. So, here are the examples, and these really are laughable. It's like, you know, when there's like gun control advocates who have their dumbass ideas about how to, you know, write laws restricting people's gun ownership rights and that this is going to, you know, somehow save lives. And all of their ideas are terrible and make no sense. Like you can literally take them apart one by one. You know, they're like, you know, Sandy Hook will happen and they're like, this is why we need background checks. And you're like, but he stole the gun from his mother, who passed a background check. So what? How would a background check have? Like, how does a background check catch whether you have a son who's never committed a violent act in his life, by the way, who himself might pass a background check, and you fucking, how do you account for whether someone else who's going to kill someone for the first time ever is going to come steal your shit after you had a background check? Like, there's no, it makes no sense. But instead, what they'll do, and this happens all the time with gun control advocates, is they'll propose, they'll say, common sense gun reforms, and we just propose these 7 or 8 ideas, and they put 7 or 8 ideas out on the table. And each one of them is retarded. But the fact that there's 7 or 8 of them makes it kind of seem like, look, I've got all these ideas. See, they're all here together. See, we're going to ban bump stocks. We're going to curb semi-automatic, you know, assault rifles. We're going to have a registry. We're going to have background checks. And like, you could go through each one of these things and be like, oh yeah, well, fucking assault weapons is kind of a made-up term. It's just the way a gun looks. It accounts for a very small amount of the crime. A registry doesn't really do anything. The only thing a registry does is if a weapon is left at the scene of a crime and is registered, then you can find out whose weapon that was. But this is a tiny, tiny fraction of crimes where, like, where a gun is left at the scene and we don't have a suspect already. And like, but if you put them all together, it kind of seems nice. So if they put any one of these 10 episodes out, it would be easy to just say, this is fucking retarded. This is obviously not obstruction of justice. But since there's 10 of them, there's just a lot. Look at that, 10, you know? But let's go through each one of them. Each one is more ridiculous than the last. Okay, here we go. Number one. Episode that could constitute obstruction of justice.
Dun, dun, dun.
The campaign's response to reports about Russian support for Trump. During the 2016 presidential campaign, questions arose about the Russian government's apparent support for candidate Trump after WikiLeaks released politically damaging Democratic Party emails that were reported to have been hacked by Russia. Trump publicly expressed skepticism that Russia was responsible for the hacks. At the same time, he and other campaign officials privately sought information about further planned WikiLeaks releases. Nothing. So that's number one on the list of obstruction of justice.
Not even a good opener.
Trump was skeptical over whether it was Russia. By the way, in this report, no evidence that it was Russia that hacked the DNC or Podesta. None of that's put forward. But that's now obstruction of justice. Being skeptical about the official story. Being skeptical and also being like, oh, hey, we want that stuff. Are you like, what? Are you crazy that you think there's any political campaign that wouldn't want the rest of that information? Fucking, I wanted the rest of that information and I didn't care about Trump winning the presidency. Who doesn't want the information? Hillary Clinton had an ex-British spy out digging up dirt on Donald Trump to try to get any information they could. Are you kidding me? I mean, like, right now, the fucking there's a legal fight going on over them trying to get Trump's financial records. You think the Democrats don't want information on Trump? But so that's evident. That's example number one where it might be obstruction. He was skeptical about it being Russia and they wanted the information from WikiLeaks. That's number one. Okay, number two. Conduct involving FBI Director Comey and Michael Flynn. In mid-January 2017, incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn falsely denied to the vice president and other administration officials meeting with a Russian ambassador. On July 27th, the day after the president was told that Flynn had lied to the vice president, he had made similar statements to the FBI. The president invited FBI Director Comey to a private dinner at the White House and told Comey that he needed loyalty. On February 14th, the day after the president requested Flynn's resignation, the president told outside advisors, "Now that we fired Flynn, the Russia thing is over." So they go on to say that Donald Trump asked them to go easy on Flynn because he's a good guy after that. So let's just get things straight here and what was really going on. The first time that Comey and Trump met, Comey, the FBI director, attempts to blackmail Donald Trump. This is an old FBI trick. It goes all the way back to the days of J. Edgar Hoover. He hands him this damning information on him and was like, hey, I got this damning information on you. Look at all this shit. He hands him a big packet of what we now know are lies. We know this for sure. This has been confirmed. We know this for sure. It's just filled with bullshit, okay? Bullshit about Trump pissing on Russians and all this other stuff. Trump's like, what? I bang Eastern European whores in America. He goes, I bang porn stars. I don't even hide this shit. Like, that's what I do. This is all bullshit. Stuff about Michael Cohen going to Prague. He never went there. We know this all for a fact. None of this happened. So it's all lies. So when they just tell you that Trump asked for his loyalty, they're kind of leaving some things out of that context. Basically, what Donald Trump is dealing with here is an attempted deep state coup. Go look at what McCabe has done. They were talking about invoking the 25th Amendment. These are the guys around him. And he asked, in under these circumstances, asked for whether James Comey was loyal to him or not. Okay? Like, he's like, dude, basically, he's like, are you trying to fuck me over here? Because if you're trying to fuck me over, I'm going to fire you. You're my FBI director. I have the power to fire or appoint someone and appoint someone else. So are you loyal to me or are you not? That's the fucking question. And with the Michael Flynn thing, they were like, he was like, look, he lied to us. We fired him for that. And I think he's a good guy. There's no like Russia conspiracy theory, Russia conspiracy theory here. He knows that because he's Donald Trump and he's been exonerated on this issue. No one's really arguing that. So he was like, yeah, go easy on the guy. He's a good dude. Served his country. Blah, blah, blah. You know? You don't need to make an example of him. How is any of that obstruction of justice? This is insane. Okay? So that's number two. So that's number two. Or if you're keeping track, number zero of episodes of obstruction of justice. Let's go to number three. The president's reaction to the continuing Russia investigation. In February 2017, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions began to assess whether he had to recuse himself from campaign-related investigations because of his role in the Trump campaign. In early March, the president told the White House counsel, Don McGahn, to stop Sessions from recusing. And after Sessions announced his recusal on March 2nd, the president expressed anger at the decision and told his advisors he should have an attorney general who would protect him. Okay.
I think it's fair.
Sessions recusing himself is the reason why this special investigation started, because Sessions basically said, well, they're investigating the campaign. I was a part of the campaign. There's a conflict of interest there, so I'm stepping aside. Trump was like, no, you were a part of the campaign, so you know we weren't colluding with the Russians. Don't step aside, because if you step aside, then I have to deal with this fucking special investigation. It's going to suck the life out of the first 2 years of my administration. He's 100% right about that. But by the way, he doesn't do anything here. He asks his fucking his counsel, Dan McGahn, to stop Sessions from accusing himself. McCann advises against, and so he doesn't. That's your evidence of obstruction. That basically, so right now, what you're thinking about here, right, is that you're, imagine you're being investigated for fucking bullshit, which we all know is bullshit at this point, and your name's going to be tarnished. You're going to be called a traitor to your country on the news every single day, and you're like, can we not do that? That's obstruction. You got to just take it. Just enjoy it. Say thank you. Don't even deny it. How about that? When they say, are you a traitor to this country? Say, well, I'm just glad they're investigating me. Yeah, I can't say. I can't say whether I am or whether or not. Can you imagine what the media reaction would have been if that was what Trump did? Jeff Sessions fucked over Donald Trump by recusing himself. And he actually did a lot of damage to the country also, because he put us through this whole thing. Oh, yeah, I like that. Okay, here we go. Number four, the president's termination of James Comey. On May 3rd, 2017, Comey testified in a congressional hearing but declined to answer questions about whether the president was personally under investigation. Within days, the president decides to terminate Comey. Okay, so it happened to be within days of that. The president insisted that the termination letter, which was written for public release, state that Comey had informed the president that he was not under investigation. The day of the firing, the White House maintained that Comey's termination resulted from independent recommendations from the Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General that Comey should be discharged for mishandling the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Okay, so yeah, he fired Comey and he said he was firing him for mishandling the Clinton email investigation. That's bullshit. He fired him because he was trying to blackmail the president of the United States of America. Okay. He wasn't honest about the reason why he was firing him. It's absolutely the president's right to fire the FBI director.
And for Trump, that's kind of his thing.
And the idea, yes, right. Saying you're fired. I don't know. I think I've heard him say that a couple times or two, right? But this also is laughable that this was obstruction of an investigation against Donald Trump. In fact, see, they can't have it both ways. Like, McCabe is asked on 60 Minutes, what was it that led you guys to start to investigate the president? And they go, well, it's his firing of Comey. Okay, so if firing Comey is what leads to the investigation, firing Comey can't also be obstructing the investigation, right? It can only be one or the other. So the truth is they had basically nothing to justify investigating Trump to begin with. So they use firing Comey as a justification for investigating him. And now they're also trying to use it as an example of potential obstruction. Well, okay. So Comey gets fired and then Trump's investigated for 2 years after that. He doesn't fire any of these people who are investigating him. So isn't it reasonable to think maybe he wasn't firing Comey for investigating him? Maybe he was firing Comey for blackmailing him. And I'm not just like pulling this out of my ass. I've heard three different former CIA people who have been like, oh, no, absolutely. That was a blackmail move. That's why, like, I just assumed that right away because I know a little bit about the history of the FBI. I've read about J. Edgar Hoover, and I know what it is when at your first meeting, the FBI director hands you a bunch of dirt that they have on you. I know what that is, but a whole bunch of CIA people have confirmed this. It's absolutely what he was doing. So that's why he got fired. Nothing to do with this bullshit. And the idea that that's obstruction of justice for an investigation that was about to start is complete bullshit. Certainly wasn't obstructing the Mueller investigation because the Mueller investigation hadn't started yet. Okay. What are we up to here? Number five? All right. Number five, the appointment of special counsel and efforts to remove him. On May 17th, 2017, the acting attorney general for the Russia investigation, appointed a special counsel to conduct the investigation and related matters. The president reacted to the news that special counsel had been appointed by telling advisors that it was, quote, the end of his presidency and demanding that Sessions resign. Sessions submitted his resignation, but the president ultimately did not accept it. So that's number five. He was pissed off when he started being investigated for something he didn't do, that we all now know he didn't do. So he was pissed off for that, and he was like, this is the end of my presidency. And again, like we said at the beginning, okay, he was maybe like, and isn't this true with Trump on so many different issues? He may not have been literally correct, but the essence of what he was saying was kind of true. He was like, I'm fucked. Because if this is it, the whole thing is fucked. The whole make America great again, we're going to drain the swamp, reshape the government, that's basically over. And in a way it is. So, okay. So he was pissed and he demanded Jeff Sessions' resignation, but then ultimately didn't take him up on it. So again, I mean, even if you were going to say demanding Jeff Sessions' resignation is obstruction of justice, which I don't see how it is because Jeff Sessions recuses himself, so an investigation starts. If you demand his resignation, the investigation doesn't go away. It doesn't in any way actually obstruct the investigation, but it's kind of like, it would be like getting someone back for starting the investigation.
Or if anything, protecting yourself from the next false investigation coming your way.
Yeah, maybe
in other words,
that's
this investigation was false and that there was no Russia collusion.
But
yeah.
But even if you would grant, so I think it's a real
but
stretch.
Still isn't, but you're right,
yes,
it's not collusion.
It's not obstruction of justice.
I mean, it's not obstruction, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
So even if he were to demand Sessions' resignation because he recused himself, even if you think that would be obstruction, but he didn't accept it ultimately. Jeff Sessions stayed on the job. So there's nothing here. This, again, just grasping at straws. All right, number six, efforts to prevent public disclosure of evidence. In the summer of 2017, the president learned that media outlets were asking questions about the June 9th, 2016 meeting at Trump Tower between senior campaign officials, including Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer who is said to be offering damaging information about Hillary Clinton as part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. On several occasions, the president directed aides not to publicly disclose the emails, setting up the June 9th meeting, suggesting that the emails would not leak and that the number of lawyers with access to them should be limited.
Yeah, that's an obstruction. That's just not wanting to give information over to the public. That's yes. not even the investigation.
Yes. He didn't want to give, he didn't want people to release to the public information that could be politically damaging to him. Do I even need to address this?
What's the next one? He ate noodles on a Wednesday?
Like, it's just so, it's like, okay, so there's a meeting, which, by the way, if you're arguing that it would be, like, if the public didn't know about the Trump-Russia Tower, or the Trump, the Don Jr. meeting with the Russian woman in Trump Tower, if the public didn't know about that, that would be obstructing justice. Well, the public knows about it. The public's known about it forever. Mueller knew about it. He investigated it. There's nothing criminal about it. Absolutely nothing criminal about it. So I don't know. That might actually be the most ridiculous one yet. All right, number seven. Further efforts to have the Attorney General take control of the investigation. Okay. So in early summer 2017, the president called Sessions at home and again asked him to reverse his recusal from the Russia investigation. Sessions did not reverse his recusal. Okay, but you know, he's being investigated for something that he didn't do, and we all know this. And it's not, it seems to me that he's going through the legal channels to see if the Attorney General will take back his recusal. I don't know. This is his Justice Department. It seems like, yeah, he thinks this is going to be a witch hunt. And a big part of this also is that, which they don't include here, is that, I forget the exact numbers, but it was something like 70, 80% of the investigators working under Mueller were tied to Hillary Clinton in some way. Which is, by the way, these are the people who wrote this report. This is why it's so damning to Donald Trump.
They were saying that they left really good jobs for this. And at first they were trying to paint that that's how moral this investigation is.
Yeah, but there's another way to look at that.
High-paying lawyers left these unbelievable jobs. And if you're like, okay, that sounds reasonable, until you find out that they're all enmeshed in Hillary Clinton lawyers. And you're like, well, what are these people up to then?
Yeah. You're talking about people who donated money to Hillary Clinton, people who were outright supporting Hillary Clinton, and people who were really, really anti-Trump. You know, that's like more so than even pro-Hillary Clinton, really, really anti-Trump. So yeah, of course, Trump wants to get the Attorney General to be overseeing this thing. I don't see how that's obstruction of justice. And then again, of course, what's the craziness thing here is that you're not accusing Donald Trump of attempted obstruction of justice. The crime would be obstruction of justice. So even if this was an attempt, he didn't get it. It wasn't successful. He didn't get Jeff Sessions to unrecuse himself. All right, I believe we're up to number eight. Efforts to have McGahn deny that the president had ordered him to have the special counsel removed. Okay? So in early 2018, the press reported that the president had directed McGahn to have the special counsel removed in June of 2017, and that McCann had threatened to resign rather than carry out the order. So this is a White House counsel, this McGahn guy, and they're claiming that Donald Trump at one point asked him to remove the special counsel. Their words, ordered him to remove the special counsel. His advisor advised against doing it, and what happened ultimately?
He didn't do it.
So the idea is that Donald Trump, who's had the power to remove the special counsel this entire time, once thought about doing it. Now, they're claiming he ordered him. Trump's saying he didn't. This is in dispute right now between, like, Giuliani and Trump are saying basically this didn't happen. That more or less, it's not that he ordered him to do it. Trump came out and said, people follow my orders. If I give someone an order, they do it, you know? And if they don't follow an order, they're probably going to be fired themselves immediately. But he didn't say that part. He just said, if I give an order, they follow it. So what they're saying more or less is that he thought about the idea. He was talking about the idea, and they advised him against it, and ultimately he didn't do it.
Yeah, and we all know Donald Trump says crazy shit late at night.
Yes!
I bet that conversation was at 2 in the morning after his fourth bowl of pudding.
Yeah,
and
probably.
That's when he says
like
stupid
that.
Shit.
But can you imagine this standard by anyone else? Like, if you ever even thought about, you know, like, even like asked for advice about something and someone was like, yeah, I don't think this is a good idea, we shouldn't do it.
It's
and
like
didn't
almost
do
every
it.
Day I say, bring me next door, I'm going to eat our producer Brian's asshole right now to teach him a lesson.
And only two or three times a week does it happen.
Yeah, but I say it every day.
Every day, multiple
times. And most
times
of the time,
a day.
I don't mean it.
Yeah, 50-50.
People say shit all the time and they never do it. Just, how often have you said, I'm going to go fucking murder that guy?
Oh, man.
And how often do you do it?
Today. Yeah, there you go. All right, so now we're up to number 9, I believe. And it's conduct toward Flynn and Manafort. After Flynn withdrew from a joint defense agreement with the president and began cooperating with the government, the president's personal counsel left a message for Flynn's attorney, reminding them of the president's warm feelings toward Flynn.
Warm feelings. How can you criticize that?
During Manafort's prosecution, and when the jury in his criminal trial was deliberating, the president praised Manafort in public, said that Manafort was being treated unfairly, and declined to rule out a pardon. Hey, can you believe this bullshit? This is what they're saying is grasping at straws? That he basically expressed an opinion? So now he can't speak. Now, basically, him exercising his First Amendment rights are obstruction of justice. Can you imagine? Like, imagine you're accused of a crime, and somebody around you is now working with the state who's prosecuting you, and you go, hey, for the record, I think that guy's a really great guy. And they go, that's obstruction of justice. Do you see why they need 10 of these things? Because if you put any one of them up there and actually let people dissect that, it's like they picked the perfect number that the American public won't be able to handle. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, there's 10. Well, I'm not going to look through all 10 of them. I mean, I guess they got a bunch of shit. But if you put any one of these are so flimsy. There is no case for obstruction of justice here. All right. And let's see. This should be 10. And the final.
I think it's also like the Letterman top 10 list. It's just yes. 10 is it's a complete unit.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you got to 10. You did it.
Yeah. You never seen a Letterman top 9 list.
No,
it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah,
exactly. No, that's a good point. So number 10 is conduct involving Michael Cohen. The president's conduct toward Michael Cohen, a former Trump Organization executive, changed from praise for Cohen when he falsely minimized the president's involvement in the Trump Tower Moscow project to castigation of Cohen when he became a cooperating witness. So more or less, he started shitting on Cohen after Cohen was shitting on him. That's what they've got. So yeah. The whole Russian collusion thing was a bunch of bullshit. Oh, yeah, there was absolutely nothing there. Oh, yeah, a presidential candidate was spied on by the opposition government. His presidency was derailed for the first 2 years, and the story is that this was all bullshit. But here's the real story. Those 10 pieces of nothing. That's what the media is trying to spin to you right now. It is outrageous. And, you know, for all you people who give me shit for this, because I know I get it. I get people who are like, oh, Dave, it's like, you know, you say you're not a Trump supporter, but you spend all this time defending Donald Trump. You know, I'm not actually defending Donald Trump. I'm saying that I'm just attacking the media and the deep state. That's all I'm doing. Here's what Donald Trump did while all of this is going on, right? Here's the stuff that isn't getting the attention. The fucking House and Senate both voted to end support for the Saudi genocide in Yemen, and Trump vetoed it. Trump fucking vetoed it. Now, you can say anything you want to about how, oh, Donald Trump can't take on the military-industrial complex himself, and he really wants to end wars and blah, 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 blah. He had the perfect fucking opportunity. He had the perfect guy. He could have just said, well, Congress said they want us out of there, so we're getting out of there, and he fucking vetoed it, and he didn't do it. Donald Trump backtracked on his promise to pull the troops out of Syria. Donald Trump backtracked on his promise to end the war in Afghanistan. At least he still hasn't done it yet. I guess maybe there's some hope that he's fucking negotiating something there. He's increased drone strikes from Obama's administration, increased the rate of casualties through American strikes. He's pulled out of treaties with Russia, and he's fucking flirting with war in Venezuela by the day. Donald Trump has been a disaster. He's failed in every one of his major missions. Donald Trump should be, much like Obama and George W. Bush before him, strung up on war crimes. They should all be sharing a cell together for the rest of their life if they're not executed. Okay? That's what should happen. There's no defense of Donald Trump here. The point is that we're wasting our time on this bullshit when there's the real problems that are going on. Oh, and by the way, if that's not bad enough, he's also flirting with war with Iran. He's also now come back to the fucking neocons' pet project, which is to declare the Iranian government a terrorist organization. And now he's saying anyone who does business with them can be sanctioned as well. That's what Donald Trump is giving you. So, no, it's not defense of Donald Trump. He's actually fucking up on the job. But the problem is that this has now sucked all the air out of the room. This nonsense, this fucking idea that that number one, the absolute absurd notion, which I'm not going to let people forget that the media pushed for years, that Donald Trump was a Russian puppet. What a fucking joke. What a ridiculous idea. That guy from the New York Magazine who said Donald Trump was a Russian puppet since 1987. Oh, yeah. The Russians were so smart that they knew that this Donald Trump guy was going to be president. They could just feel that way back in the 80s. And they, you know, he was a sleeper cell for him. In 2016, they were like, now's your time. Yeah, we're gonna bet on the most unlikely of horses to win this race. Okay, so this ridiculous idea that Donald Trump was a fucking was colluding with the Russians, all this just utter nonsense that anyone with a brain who wasn't completely propagandized could have seen through. And then this utter nonsense that he's obstructed justice, that a guy who could shut down the investigation any day he wanted to was obstructing justice by allowing it to continue. And then, oh, he didn't want to keep information from the public. Well, guess what? He let the report go out to the public. All this is shit that Donald Trump could have stopped. They were actually fucking running. They're fucking these maniacs on CNN were talking about how he met with Bill Barr, the attorney general, to discuss whether or not they'd release the report. And they're saying this like it's damning to Donald Trump. They go, he wanted to meet with the AG to discuss it before the American people could see it. It's like, right. And what did he decide? That we could see it. He let it out there. There's nothing has been hidden from the American people. The only thing that's been hidden from the American people are the redactions that Robert Mueller put in. Robert Mueller had redactions in there. That's all that's been fucking, or maybe the attorney general had some redactions in there, but that's all that's been kept. And the other stuff that's been kept are all the underlying documents that led to the FISA warrants to begin with. Why? How can you argue that now that this is all out there, we don't get to know that? So what exactly, I want you to spell it out for me. What led to the investigation? What did you have going in? You're going to be blown away by how flimsy it is. It's going to be nothing. So that's where we are. So you go, you know, if you want to go read the mainstream media or listen to cable news or anything like that, just keep this shit that we were talking about today in mind, because it is a whole load of bullshit. They were wrong. They were wrong from day one. They didn't get this story right. They got it spectacularly wrong, and they're still getting it spectacularly wrong. And the truth is, Mueller was a political actor from the very beginning. This whole thing was a political action from the very beginning. And now they've turned over enough to Congress that they can debate on or they can kind of like talk about impeachment. What will ultimately happen is they're not going to move forward with impeachment because they know how fucking ridiculous that looks. And it would be just handing a huge victory to Donald Trump. But now they can at least keep that out there in the ether that it's like, well, I mean, maybe we should. This is a president who maybe should be impeached. A little bit of red meat for all the people who hate Donald Trump. That's what we're left with. Any thoughts, Rob? I'm just about done.
No, I think you said it best that if it wasn't for that, we'd be talking right now about how treasonous he is, that he's either siding with Saudi Arabia or Yemen in the Middle East.
Yeah.
At the, you know, not in the U.S. interest and not good for the kids in Yemen. But instead, we're talking about this other stuff, and that's the big issue.
Well, what the fuck?
I think you said it best.
What has he done, man? Like, what has Donald Trump actually done? Okay, like, his central issue on the 2016 campaign was this immigration stuff. What's he done? Where's that wall? Where's that wall Mexico's going to pay for?
I see more brown people than ever.
Yeah, literally. I see fucking caravans flooding over the border. So however you feel about fucking Donald Trump, he's not doing anything on immigration. The fear that Donald Trump was going to be some fucking, some Third Reich, rising dictator. He's going to usher in fascism. This is going to be literally Hitler and Obama. No, the real fear is that he's Obama. That's what we actually got stuck with. We got stuck with Obama, who, by the way, is kind of a fascist. But that's who we got stuck with, was another term of Barack Obama. He's been an absolute failure on a central issue, which was immigration. What was the other issues? Oh, we're going to get out of these stupid wars. Well, we just covered that. We're in as deep as we were with Obama. What was that? He's going to bring back all the jobs, right? He's going to bring back all these factory jobs. He's not bringing back any fucking jobs. He's continued inflating the bubble that Obama started inflating. And you know what? They are kind of in some perverse way. Like, he's wrong to brag about the economy, but when he brags about the economy, like, look how great the unemployment numbers are, record low unemployment rate for blacks and women and all this stuff. And then the Obama people can go, yeah, but it was coming down already. It just kind of continued under you. They are kind of right about that. Basically, you just continued Obama's fucking economy, which is completely built off artificially low interest rates and record high government spending. Oh, and how did that record high government spending go under Donald Trump? Remember when Republicans used to be against that? Oh, yeah, it's higher. It's higher than it was the highest year of Obama's spending. So, yeah, that's what we've gotten. We've gotten more Obama. For all this fucking dumb Russia nonsense, what we have is Obama's third term, which is really Bush's fifth term.
Gets confusing.
Yeah, it sure does. It's really Woodrow Wilson's 385th term, if you want to break it down. I got the numbers wrong on that one, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's been that many years. Okay. I guess that's where I'll stop today. All right. That's the end of our episode. Be back on Wednesday and then Friday.
Who's the guest? Who's the guest?
It's a secret.
What? Secret guest?
Meaning it's still between two people and I haven't completely scheduled it yet. But we'll have a good guest for Wednesday. Okay. It's a secret. Meaning I don't know. I got a baby. All right. I love you all. Thanks for listening. See you Wednesday. Peace.